We are the Real Kipper and Bourne Show. Wherever you're watching, wherever you're listening, Sportsnet 590, Sportsnet 360, Sportsnet Plus from 4 to 6. We're glad you're aboard. When you can't catch us live, download us on any of your favorite podcasts.
Yes.
Nick Kiprios, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, Derek Brandeo, and Jen Rolnick. Stretching out the week here.
What do you mean?
Right into the Christmas break.
Yeah.
I got to be honest with you guys.
Let's have it.
We started our
Should have taken the week off?
No. I'm good with working today and tomorrow.
Okay.
We started off late this year.
Mm-hmm.
The shows.
Yeah.
I think it was like a week before puck drop.
The Jays were competitive.
Yeah.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
And I was itching to get going.
Yeah.
And now I can't wait to get rid of you both. I really need a break.
You know what? You're going to go spend 10 days with your family, and you'll be itching to get back.
Scram beat it.
And then I'm going to give them the scram mm-hmm. beat it. I need my boys back.
You'll be ready to get back. Yep.
All right.
Into
well,
the dog days.
You know, absence makes the heart grow fonder, Kippy.
And, yes.
You know, we've spent a lot of time together since October, every day for 3 to 4 hours a day.
Yeah.
And I will say, not to get it too inside baseball here, but I'd say we have a remarkably good relationship.
I think
for
so
how
too.
Much time we spend together. Don't you think, Kip?
I'll reserve my judgment till like April.
Yeah.
March, April.
Secret,
can you give me time to answer that?
The secret to a good relationship is to almost never talk.
Yes. It's true.
Until it works.
I love you guys.
Yeah. Be a good listener. Was last night's game between the Leafs and New York a little bit of the, okay, I don't know what to make of it really
mm-hmm.
because I've seen the Leafs play a lot worse and win than what we saw last night. They seem to have some decent scoring chances. In your mind, was the game up for grabs in the latter part of the game?
Yeah, I still think some days I come in here and I go, that was a great hockey game last night. And you go, eh, because it wasn't played great. You know, like there was a lot of like errors and I'm talking about it was fun. It was back and forth, whatever.
Yeah.
Last night, I think, was a well-played game. It wasn't as thrilling, as exciting, but like the Leafs had trouble getting inside against a Rangers team that was pretty well-structured. Leafs were pretty good. I mean, we'll get to Sheldon Keefe, but at some point he basically said as much where he's like, sometimes over 82 games you play pretty well and you don't win. That's kind of how it goes. And that's kind of my review of last night.
I actually think I would come out of that game feeling probably better about the Leafs
mm-hmm.
than I have in a little while. I know that's kind of crazy to say considering how many points they've gotten over the last stretch of games. But I think that team, the Rangers, are one of the class of the East, right? Like, I think we'd all agree that and maybe they lead the NHL in points percentage. Like, they're a really good team this year.
Yep.
And I thought that looked like two really evenly matched teams. And with the way we started talking about this team in October and November, we were very concerned that they weren't going to get to this point, right?
Yeah.
Where they weren't going to be playing close games with really good teams. And I come away from that game feeling better about them than I should.
Yeah, looking at scoring chances, I mean, they were right there 20-21 for the Rangers. So right there.
Whatever. Maybe just blame the dads last week for the the dancing and the
is that your dance?
The hip bumping.
Oh, you got the ring on, Kipper. You got a function tonight. You got a little something. Whenever you got
a little something special going on tonight.
When you got the sport coat and the ring on, I'm like, where is he going? Where is he going tonight?
For you to figure out.
Oh, I love it.
For you to figure out.
Love it.
Okay, let's go to Sheldon Keefe for our first Kipper's Clipper of the show on his overview of the game.
We were slow in the first period. I thought both teams were a little slow and cautious in the first. I thought we adjusted fine to the game, though, in the second and third. I don't know. I mean, when three goals are going off of us and in the net, bouncing around, and you don't get any power plays in the game, you're probably not winning the game. So, you know, these things happen over the course of 82, but I had no issues with that game.
It's such a dismissive, funny review of the game. It's like, I got no issues. No problem at all.
I could find a couple.
Didn't win.
But what would your biggest issues be?
My still a few turnovers that I would have liked to clean up in the neutral zone.
I feel like if you're playing a good defensive team, the Leafs in playoffs have struggled to get in. And I thought last night the Rangers were good and they struggled to get in.
Mm-hmm.
So I'll quibble there.
I thought Martin Jones really saved Connor Timmins from going from a kind of whipping boy to full-on whipping boy with that turnover that he had when he's trying to go to an impossible spot. He turns it right over. Guy comes in, gets a breakaway.
You're the last guy back.
What are you doing?
Like that's
what is Connor Timmins going to be for them?
That's the stuff that scares you.
Yes.
Not in December, but in April.
But I will zoom out a little bit on this and just say that, you know, we came in here whenever it was doing the Is This Team Good show.
Yeah.
I feel pretty good about the Leafs now. Like watching these games when they're behind, when it's close, like most lines go over the boards. Like Nick Robertson kind of stunk last night, but I like him now. Like he's got pop and he works hard. And
I thought he got bounced around a little bit.
I thought he looked terrified to get smoked.
He was terrible last night.
Yeah.
He was terrible.
He got bounced
around. His turnovers were related to like not wanting to hit. But I still, he's better than he's been.
JB, when you say that, you know, there's, I get a sense of optimism out of your voice here.
It's
but
fair.
Like, where are you thinking now that when you watch it and you're feeling good about what you saw, the glass is half full? Is that because you think that this team can compete for a Stanley Cup, or they're a lot closer than you thought they might have been a month and a half ago?
I think it's probably a more fair assessment of how I felt about them a month and a half ago when I thought there's a chance they might be actually bad. Like, I thought they might miss the playoffs. Yeah. Like, are they the 16th best team in the NHL? Whatever. They're probably the 7th best team in the NHL. Yeah. You know, there's a group of teams that I think have a chance. But when you're in that group of teams, 5 to 7, whatever, and you add a couple of really good players, you can get into the real group.
You mentioned the...
So they're there.
You mentioned the confidence in a Stanley Cup. I look around the Eastern Conference, and the only team I wouldn't have some sort of confidence in them going up against would be the team they're matched up against right now in the playoff picture, would be the Florida Panthers. Like, I really do think that a lot of the other teams they could beat. Like, they play well with Boston. They play, you know, they played Tampa last year, got over that hump. Tampa's not the same team as they were. You look at the Metro, no team in that division really scares me. It's just Florida who they're matched up with right now. Thank you.
I watched last night's game, and even if by chance we could have seen another late game heroic event, like
I'm kind of glad it didn't happen.
A pulled goalie and then find a way to win it in overtime. I'm still watching last night thinking, I don't envision the Leafs team as is beating a New York Ranger team as is over a best of 7. I don't. And
it wouldn't be favorites, but I can see it.
It has everything to do with, I don't think that the Leaf blue line can compete with the likes of Fox and Trouba and Schneider.
Miller.
And Keandre Miller. Mm-hmm. Did you see Keandre Miller
there you go.
Throw like a bus token to Brody on the first goal?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Like,
so Brody's a little bit of a concern.
See, again, yes. So if I'm Sheldon, I don't see a game that we could have easily won. I saw Brody make a bad decision, which he's made a few of them.
By the way, that pinch was really bad. He was...
You know what is even worse on that pinch? Is that... where are you going with your fourth line on the ice?
Yeah, like, right? If you keep that in, for what?
Like, you're not out there with Matthews or Nylander where you feel like, hey, maybe if I join in on the rush, we're going to have this dynamic play here. You're going to take a chance with your fourth line out there, and then by chance it doesn't work out, you're going to leave McCann to backwards skate from center ice to his blue paint in his own zone.
Yeah.
That guy...
Bobby McMahon.
McMahon. Yeah.
McMahon skated backwards on that play more than he has in 10 years.
Yeah, it was blue line to his own goal line.
Yeah.
It was a full defensive rush against.
And that stuff, you just, for a guy that's been around as long as TJ Brody, that can't happen.
You know, for Keefe, he probably looks at that play and goes, all right, it hits a skate and they don't have much. And if it goes the other way, do we remember that play? But to your point, you should remember it. It's a bad play.
It's a bad play.
It's a bad play. It's a bad pinch. So, yeah, no, there's some of those moments where you're like, okay, there's some work to be done. But I guess my point, Kip, is like, I feel a lot better about Max Domi than I did. And that changes how I look at this team.
Bertuzzi. You
know, yeah, I feel better about Bertuzzi than I did early in the year. All of that makes me feel better.
Klingberg
is not here. And
right. Klingberg's out. Reeves is out. McMahon's helpful.
Yeah.
Domi's decent, and so is Bertuzzi. Whew.
I totally agree with the optics of Bertuzzi.
Mm-hmm.
And he's involved, and he's
never going to carry the play.
He has to find a way to put the puck in the net, guys.
Oh, God. Okay? What's he at still?
He has to.
Six?
He's got to find a way. No one's saying that he has to score
30
this year.
Nice. Can we get 25?
What's he at, 5?
He is at 5. You're right, Sam.
That gives him between 10 and 15 goals this year.
And the play that Marner makes where he flips it up, he makes a great play to knock it out of midair, and he goes in one-on-one with Shesterkin. And I got to tell you, I never for a second thought he was going to score.
No.
So it's like that tells you kind of where it's at with him. Like it feels like he has to be on top of the blue paint to
he
chop it
to
in
come
or,
to him.
Or like land on his stick in the slot in the perfect timing. But I am, wouldn't you guys both feel like you're starting to get a little bit more familiar with what he does? Like, I feel like he was kind of missold to me as something as missold. That's not the right thing. I don't know what the term would be, but I just feel like, you know, I was expecting a
oversold.
Guy.
Oversold.
Not even oversold. Different sold. I don't know. He's a different player than I was expecting. I guess I didn't watch him enough in Detroit, but I just remember him being way more. False advertising. Thank you, Derek, who just buzzed in my ears there. But, like, just more gritty or something. He's not as gritty as in your face.
Yes. I think. I really thought you'd see him jawing, talking to guys
Remember early in the year? I don't know who it was they were playing against. The puck was between the goal, and he just speared him right in the...
Yeah, and you liked it.
And I loved it. And it starts a brawl, and it's like, he hasn't done that since.
You want one of those guys.
Didn't you call for him to get suspended, like, in the first or second game of the year?
Like, I wanted him...
You wanted him to?
To take a suspension?
I don't know.
No, I mean, I've said some really dumb stuff on this show for 2 hours a day, every day. I could have.
Yeah, you're right.
I have no idea.
But that.
We were talking about it last night. He had 10 penalty minutes in his first four or three games, and he's got 14 all year.
Yeah, so he's last 20 games, he's got 4 pims. It's not quite the grease and grit. Remember, we were all
like,
talking about
bigger
bunting.
Like bigger bunting was the thing that people said to me. And he's like, he's just not
Say
even
what
close.
You know about bunting, he was emotionally involved.
Yes,
in games.
And I'm not even saying this as a detracting point to Bertuzzi. I've liked his game.
It's not what you thought.
It's different.
Is Domi and Yarncroc just perhaps a heavier left winger away from a very decent playoff type of third line?
Well, I wonder if, I know Domi has been better since he's moved to center. Do you think the best scenario for the Leafs is that he stays there or they get a good third line center and he plays wing on that line with Yarncroc?
There are times when I'm thinking Max is just holding onto the puck one split second too long, and it either has a feeling of a turnover or a bad pass. And I just think if he can get simpler decisions as a third line checking centerman, he could hold a spot there. But there's times when the turnovers are, for me, still an issue.
See, I agree with you, but I don't think he holds on to it long enough sometimes. Like sometimes, you know, I think he's looking for a whatever.
You know, that's fair for sure.
And I'm with you, though, that it's like I want him
he
to
just seems
not
indecisive.
Force that play. Yes. I want him to, like, either have the default be we're going forward, we're going deep or whatever, and then if you see something, make the play, but not these hope plays.
I didn't really notice him a whole lot last night at all.
The commentary isn't on last night for me. It's a general Domi.
But it feels the one thing I'm kind of learning about him is that he'll have certain games where he'll be
one of the best
unbelievable
players in the
and then other games. Well, I guess it's a lot of guys in the NHL, but him specifically, I've really noticed that he's just like, he'll just not be there for some
A lot of guys don't have that ceiling, though. Like,
I guess that's why he makes three and not eight.
Has he been the best player in a game this year? I don't think so.
Maybe the first Sweden game.
Okay.
Remember, he was really good, but
there's been a few games where you're like, wow, Domi was impactful for them. And as a third-line guy, if he gives you 5 games in 82 where he's the best player in the rink, that's unbelievable.
I'd still like to see Sheldon move him a little bit around. I wouldn't mind seeing him on an occasion up on with Matthews
Willie. Maybe now that he's found himself a little bit on this team and hopefully he feels like he's found some footing here.
Well, we saw it on Saturday night. You put him with two really good players and he's got 3 points and he's supporting the puck and like it looks really good.
And it's okay, Sheldon, if you want to start every once in a while a power play that may not include 34 and 88, you know? It's just
that's crazy.
A minute.
No. Come on.
Goes a long way, Sammy.
Yeah. What? No way.
Auston Matthews is on pace for like 70 goals. If I got PP1, he's going over the boards. Like, unless you're up 7 goals or whatever, I get the perspective. Maybe make him shorter so it's a true split, but like first guy over the boards every time is Matthews.
But I do think that the way that Domi being better has changed things. Like, could you get a third line center? Can Ryan O'Reilly come be that guy? God, you know, he'd be perfect.
Oh, he'd be really good.
But that type of guy, because Yarncroc, they love him in every situation, it feels like. So,
you know,
he's fine. For $2 million, he's fine.
Not to fly around the lineup like crazy here, but I feel like, you know, maybe the guy sitting over there staring at me right now and others are hard on Yarncroc because he's not really a playoff contributor, which he wasn't in the playoffs. I understand that. Yeah. But what you're getting for $2 million a year here.
I think he's playing as well and as hard as I've seen him
for sure
play.
Yeah. Like,
and I do not want to take anything away from that. Yeah. And he's leaning me over to being a fan.
Mm-hmm.
But I'd still like to see him just,
he's not good.
I know.
Fighting a little harder at times.
But it's just like, we're talking up this forward group or whatever, and it's like, you can totally see what you're talking about. You look at the Rangers decor. Yeah. If you could even kind of hang with them, your forward group is better. You look at Boston, Leafs forwards are way better.
Yeah.
Way better. But the decors are not even close.
And goaltending.
And goaltending.
I'm watching.
In both teams.
I'm watching.
Florida, same thing.
Barkley Goodrow.
Mm-hmm.
That guy was a prick last night.
Yeah, he gave it to Lagesson a few times. Pretty good.
And that's what you hope that you can win a best of seven with. And, you know, Knies, like, hey, we gave him a lot of love for Saturday night.
Yeah, which he deserved.
Which he deserved. But last night, didn't really notice him a whole heck of a lot. But there was not a snippet of following up that moment Saturday night.
Yeah,
not a sniff.
But he's not going to become a tough guy. You know,
I don't want him to be a tough guy. I want to notice him a little bit more like I noticed Goodrow last night.
Bah, humbug.
Why?
Goodrow.
Why?
If Knies becomes Goodrow, he's failed miserably.
I'm not talking about skill. I'm just talking about how big and strong you are, and you pissed off nobody last night.
It's the wrong focus for him. He can't do that.
I think he can. I think he can play a heavy game most nights. I do.
Yeah.
And I think he can piss a few people off.
This is part of the young thing.
If he just followed through on the size and the weight of him.
And that's the progression to me of a 21-year-old finding
I'm not saying he has to do it overnight, but that's the growth that I'd like to see. That's what you want in a best of seven is my point. Yep. I'm not saying tomorrow or the next day, but the Yarncroc cannot do that in the playoffs. And that's the stuff that will make me take a bad penalty because I've had enough of you.
Mm. I just have to punch you.
I have to punch you. I have to do this. Yeah. I have to do that. Every playoff series, every team in the finals has one or two of those guys where it's like, I can't take it anymore.
Yeah.
I can't take you anymore. And teams have no problem taking Yarncroc in April and May.
Yeah.
Yeah, I love that.
That's just one element that's kind of missing still.
From the Leafs in general.
And you know, I think I do love Matthew Knies for all the reasons you and everyone else have.
I don't think Tom Wilson came into the league being Tom Wilson now. I don't think any of these guys do. I think becoming a power forward like that, you have to develop a level of confidence and don't touch me, you don't look at me, you don't touch anyone while I'm out here. Yeah. You don't just come in like that, I don't think.
But you got to dig it out.
Right.
You got to dig it out.
Your point is that's where it's headed.
It's funny that you mentioned that with Nyes, Kip, because I was watching that game, and there's a couple of shifts where he comes in, and I'm like, oh, he's going to hit him now. Like, I had the expectation in my mind after what he looked like on Saturday that, he's going to play physically. Like, I actually had those thoughts, so I don't think you're far off with that. I just think the Rangers are way bigger, faster, stronger than the Penguins.
Yeah, but you don't have to wave the white flag.
No, of course not, but it's a much more intimidating team with the size and the grit. Like, they are a scary team with some of those guys. Like, Trouba, eesh, you don't want to go near him with your head down. Like, you look at, like you said, Goodrow, he was a you-know-what. Like, they have guys that aren't that fun to play against. So I think it's a different animal, but I think you're not too far off.
The other probably... Yeah, you go ahead.
I can tie this to one thing that we have on here is how the Leafs don't draw many penalties. In fact, they almost never draw a 5-on-3 power play. Last night, they get no penalties. The Rangers took zero. So to your point, they weren't inspired to punch anyone in the face the whole night. They get no power plays. Keith mentioned that was one of the reasons he thinks they lost. They didn't get any power plays. There's also the fun stat that last year, the Leafs didn't get a 5-on-3 till game 73. What is the stat that you have?
So this is from Svensson, who tweeted me this. So Svensson, you better not let me down here, Bubba.
All right, Henrik.
From the last 5 years, these are their ranks in penalties per game, like the power plays per game. It's 26th, 23rd, 26th, 23rd, 31st this year.
So they get power plays in the bottom, whatever percentile that is, 15%.
And it's just a
lot of Leaf fans would be like, oh, there's a... It's like, I think it's just because they don't play that hard a lot of times.
Style.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right?
People do think the 5-on-3 thing in particular is like conspiratorial. Like, it's the Leafs. The refs don't want to put them up 5-on-3 and look like they're favoring the Leafs.
Listen, historically, we know to go to a 5-on-3, it has to be a pretty blatant...
A butcher.
Right?
Yeah.
You got to punch somebody.
Hack them down.
Hack them. Pull them down on a scoring opportunity.
But from the start of last season... Till now, the 31st ranked team is Minnesota. They've had 6 5-on-3s. The Leafs have had 2. They're dead last, and they're not even close to the Wild.
The Wild have had the most. They've had 22.
Oh, the Wild.
There's another
the
team
most.
That was
okay.
close to them. I forget who it was, but there's a Wild.
Either way,
that had
the
22.
Team ahead of them has 6, and they have 2.
Yeah.
So they almost never go on the power play. Why don't we listen to Sheldon Keefe tell us about why no power plays?
I thought we could maybe attack inside a little more. Like I said, it's a strange game. I thought we had more ozone time than they did. I thought we attacked off the rush, especially in that second period. So I thought we did more than enough, but they defended well and had disciplined sticks, and there was nothing there for us.
So Keefe just skipping through at these ones. Like,
Can I ask you guys something about Keefe and like the general thought of the Toronto Maple Leafs? Like, do you think it's like a mission statement for them to tell these guys to not muck it up?
Into the media?
No, in the games.
No, like, absolutely not.
This is something that people have asked me about and talked to me about. Like, I get texts from my buddies being like, "What? Ryan Reeves had 2 fights in however many games he played." It's like, Tyler Bertuzzi was a Tasmanian devil every game I watched him when he played against the Leafs, and he comes here and has had 3 penalty minutes in the last, like, there's just no way.
I mean, unless I coached them for 2 years.
I know.
And he's dying for guys to play like that.
So then
physically.
What is it?
I don't know. Unless he's totally changed his... I always thought it was that Dubas didn't provide him the guys who played like that. But
he did.
No.
I mean...
He's got more of a point right now. Put yourself in Sheldon Keefe's shoes right now. Who are you going to
tell? Well, it was Reeves until he got by the ice monster. It was Reeves.
No. Give me somebody that can really influence a game, not a spot duty guy
I guess
Reeves.
It's something
Domi.
That yeah, I guess.
And like, and, you make your guy 5'10" guy.
And
I don't know.
You're not going to Austin and saying anything. You're not going to Willie. You're not going to Tavares. Bertuzzi's already, outside of dropping the gloves, I don't think he can do any more than he's already doing. It's not Yarncroc. It's not Keefe. Kampf. So
Kampf,
right? It's not, to his point, the roster doesn't have that that in their personalities, in their character.
I'm just looking up Bertuzzi on Hockey Fights. And yeah, he's like a very few fights in his career, actually. And I just would not have guessed that, but.
No, he's not a guy that I'm looking for to drop the gloves unless there's a moment when he can
It's not even so much.
It's not fighting. I'm not talking fighting.
That's what I mean.
I'm talking about just in your face. Make yourself punchable. This is the best I can describe
it. I like that. You do that really well. I think you could really set an example for the Leafs.
I've had that face, guys.
Okay? I know how to present it.
I really know.
So another one I want to ask you about last night, Connor Timmins plays. Simone Benoit sits out. You know, for what this Leafs, I guess they just need somebody that can make a breakout pass. That's why they put Timmins in there over Benoit.
Well.
But to me, on merit, if he wasn't right-handed, like, he might be playing for the Growlers.
I think it's more than that. It's not just making a first pass, Sammy. It's they're starving
for offense
in the back.
Yep.
Are they one of the worst teams?
If not the worst.
Are they the worst team in the league?
I recently saw stats on this. I think by defensemen, they're the bottom 1, 2, 3 teams.
Like,
it's Riley.
Think about the pressure on Morgan Riley now to continue to make a play like he made on Matthew's first goal.
Fantastic
which was
play.
A hell of a pass. And to the life of me, I don't know how you think Morgan's more dangerous than 34 in the slot. Like, are you not covering that guy right away?
Good point. I do think, you know, Timmins has, I want to say he has like 20 points in 32 games as a Leaf or something like that. Like, he has numbers. So I think that's probably it, where they're like, we just need someone to break the puck out,
somebody.
Make a pass. You know, they got Klingberg kind of thinking they needed someone
and
in that.
That's that over.
It's over.
Very
it's
over.
So the question is,
who are they getting?
They need somebody to help Morgan. I don't want to see Morgan have the weight of the world on his shoulder to jump up on a rush and add layers for another 40 plus games. Guys, it's, what are you going to leave him? You know, how's he going to feel at the end of the year?
He does carry a ton of burden on him in terms of the offense from the back end. But yeah, I don't like,
okay. We have a clip on Morgan.
Oh, yeah.
Would you like to hear?
Yes.
It's kind of a snippy clip from
old Sheldon. Like this
on question. Morgan Riley?
Yeah, you can hear the clip.
All right.
Yeah.
Does Morgan Riley get enough credit for what he has brought basically since the puck dropped at the beginning of the season?
Well, I think you've asked me that question probably 10 times now, so I would say he's getting lots of credit, yes.
Geez, Sheldon.
Sour put Sheldon after the game last night. Sour. It's Christmas, by Jesus.
Man's got a family.
That's rude.
Okay, I'm kind of surprised at that.
I know, that's uncommon.
Yeah.
Because Sheldon, like, give him credit for this. He talks to these guys so much.
Yes.
And he, to his credit, goes out there and gives him a professional response 98.9% of the time.
And there's only so many guys to talk about.
And you couldn't go 0.1% more for
That's
Morgan.
What I mean. And I'll be like, hey, yeah, he deserves all the credit in the world. Was great tonight. Good question.
Yeah.
End of story. Just surprised by that. That's why I put it in there.
I think sometimes we all just get a little grouchy sometimes.
Yeah.
Old Sheldon definitely falls into that category.
Maybe he's just ticked off that he has to put him back on the power play.
Yeah.
It's getting redundant.
When he's tried so hard to get other players.
Sign someone else
there.
To do that.
Well, yeah, maybe if
back where we started.
Well, maybe if the league would give them any power plays, they'd have more chances to try it out. So maybe he'd be better there if they got to do it. They just never get to do it. They're almost dead last in the league. So
okay, no, we have right. to before we go to break. We got to mention the game-winning goal. And again, I mean, Sheldon, you could kind of talk about the screw up on that third goal, the Schneider goal.
Yeah, him blowing by Tavares and the
yes.
switch there, and yeah.
off of innocent. Mid-ice face-off.
Yeah.
Like, how do you...
Kind of a neutral zone.
How is,
McCabe gets caught outside the
how
dots.
How is Tavares flat-footed on the blue line, just sitting there like they're playing Red Rover, we call Schneider over.
I think if we did the video breakdown, we would find something on McCabe there.
Okay.
Yeah, penalty.
Let's go to Sheldon on the game-winning goal.
So
Well, we missed an assignment on the faceoff early. We pressure the puck like we're supposed to. Then it goes D to D. We turn the wrong way, which allows them to jump by us. We're not supposed to follow the puck. You're supposed to hold your lane. It's 5 one-on-ones in that situation. We got beat, which allowed their guy to come with speed. And then John, who's above the center, like he's supposed to be, he's flat-footed now and has to defend a guy coming with speed. And then, again, just like the way the night is. I mean, it looks to me like that guy's trying to go under the bar with that shot, and it goes 5-hole. So I think that's the way it goes.
Now,
tough one for the keeper. He thinks he's going.
Was it McCabe wide? Mm-hmm. The two defensemen were wide. Like they were almost like both their hips
by
were
the
boards.
Yeah.
And I think McCabe may have gotten picked a little bit, but I don't even know.
But it's not
if he should have been even close to Blake Wheeler, I think, who may have done it.
I just know that being in John Tavares' situation there is so hard. I know he's already not the greatest skater, but you would have to be the greatest skater to go flat-footed against anyone in the NHL yes. coming with speed and make a play on
yeah.
it.
Yeah, and, you know, McCabe playing on the other side again with, we talked about it a little bit last night, but it's like he looked a little more horned up last night.
Yeah.
A little bit more early season McCabe jumping yeah. up a lot, and I think it was a play maybe where he thought the pass was coming to Wheeler, and he was going
to
maybe intercept
oh, yeah.
it.
Trying
and
to
then,
jump the route a little
and
bit.
And then he turns around. He's getting Wheeler bumps him out, and it's in the back of the net.
We didn't talk really Martin Jones, but good effort. Right?
What can
he held
do?
Them in there.
Yeah.
But that's when you really would have liked to save on a, I guess, and Sheldon just spoke of it. He's trying to go up top.
Yeah.
It ended up being like this knuckleball that went in.
It's fellas, it's Martin Jones.
Right.
You know, like there's three bad bounces go by him. He's pretty good the rest of the night. He lets in a bad goal. Martin Jones is going to let in bad goals. And you can hope you can overcome it. But I thought he got pretty unlucky for most of the night, no? Like that Zibanejad goal, that first one, is the weirdest goal all year.
Yeah.
I still don't know how that went in, but yeah.
Fair question.
Okay, we're going to get Luke Fox, NHL writer for Sportsnet.ca. We're going to join him after the break, and we'll get into tomorrow night. Facing the Buffalo Sabres,
oof.
Did Martin Jones earn another start in Buffalo, or do you go back to Samsonov? We'll ask Luke and the boys here that question after the break.
Fresh views on everything in the National Football League. It's the Fan Checkdown with Matt Marchese and Donovan Bennett. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The New York Rangers avenged their loss last week with a 5-2 victory over the Toronto Maple Leafs. Let's welcome in Luke Fox, NHL writer from Sportsnet.ca. And judging by your Zoom shot, in a police lineup? No. Luke, what's going on, buddy?
There's only so many rooms available when you got company over for the holidays already. You got to find any spot you can.
There you go. Well, we appreciate it a lot. And you've been along the journey of the Toronto Maple Leafs every step of the way. Let's start the way we finished our conversation before the break, and that was on the goaltending. And were you surprised to see Martin Jones at home up against the New York Rangers? Would that have been a Samsonov start for you? And where does that leave Sheldon Keefe going in tomorrow night against Buffalo?
Yeah, I wasn't surprised at all. Just based on Samsonov's body language after his last start, when he got shelled, it was quite a scene, actually, because usually by the time they let us reporters into the game or into the dressing room after the game, pretty much everyone's cleared out. And then one by one, they bring out the guys who, you know, that are going to talk post game to the media. But Samsonov was still in his stall and he just had this vacant look on his face. You know, you could tell that he felt he let the team down and the team didn't, you know, make him available to talk. And that's happened a couple of times in the past when he's gone through some sort of, you know, mental struggles or, you know, he's struggling with his confidence. And then to see Martin Jones go in the next night and have a fine performance, it wasn't surprising at all that they've, you know, gave Jones the ball to run with it. So, and then at practice, Samsonov stayed on for extra work. So all the telltale signs were there that it was going to be Jones's net last night. And, you know, besides the one mistake on the game-winning goal, Braden Schneider's goal, you know, he said he wanted to have that back. He went for the poke check, probably should have not given such a big five hole to him. But other than that, there was just fluky bounces. So I'm not really blaming the goaltender for the Rangers' loss. But now they're in an interesting spot, and they got two soft opponents before Christmas. The Buffalo Sabres, who are just a mess right now, getting booed at home, and then the Columbus Blue Jackets. I would give Samsonov the net tomorrow night in Buffalo, but I would definitely try and give him at least one of these to see if he can't get some traction. And you'd like to think if the team plays strong defensively in front of him, the fact that he's facing, you know, a team that's out of the playoff mix, a lesser opponent than the Rangers for sure, that maybe he can just take a step, right? Like, it's all about trying to build some momentum. The guy has not linked a string of strong starts. He's had moments, but he hasn't really got that traction.
You know, I think of Linus Allmark in Buffalo, goes to Boston behind a really good D, and all of a sudden he's really good. I think of Talbot in Ottawa, goes to LA behind a really good D, and all of a sudden he's really good. And, like, the Leafs this year defensively have been not very good. Do you think it's a matter of the Leafs' D are not helping Samsonov out this year, or that their lesser D are exposing what he really is, which is maybe a backup goalie in the NHL?
Well, I think there's both things at play, Justin, for sure. I think, like I said, I think he's had confidence issues. I don't think mentally he's gotten the traction that he had last year when he went on a run and ended up with his best career season, really. He was really good for the Leafs. And I don't think we can't ignore the fact that the team took him to arbitration. And it's like chicken or the egg. Did the team do the right thing by sensing that maybe this guy isn't worth betting on long term? Or did the fact that, you know, Brad Treliving went in there and said, I want to give you the least term possible, the least money possible. Did that start him off on a foot where he was putting too much pressure on himself? Like, I got to go out there and prove it all over again. Even though I had a pretty good showing in the playoffs and had a pretty good season by my standards, for the third straight year, I'm in a contract year. And that's a lot of pressure, especially, you know, when you step aside out of the rink and consider this is a guy with a young family, just had a baby in the spring. And I think he's putting a lot of pressure on himself to earn money for his family. There's a human element to this as well. So I think that's part of it. But I think absolutely the team needs to play better in front of him. In that Columbus game, they did not give him a chance to find his rhythm. Like, they were awful in that first period. You guys saw that game. So when you're dealing with a fragile goalie, you have to help him out to a certain extent too. You know, we saw in his one shutout, the team was fantastic. It was like an easy shutout. I mean, you hate to say that, you're still playing goal in the NHL, but that's about as an easy of a shutout as I've seen. So I think it's a bit of both.
We're talking to Luke Fox, NHL writer for Sportsnet.ca. You know, you talked about Allmark, JB, and going to a defensive core like the Boston Bruins. Again, last night, we watched a Connor Timmins giveaway that could have easily solidified the win, but Jones made a real good save to keep it close at the time. But there's got to be a level of frustration, and I don't know if you kind of caught it. I did catch it a little bit on that Schneider third goal, the go-ahead goal, where Jones kind of gave a look of where is everybody? Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Luke, and, you know, the sense of getting some serious help for either Jones or Samsonov, the standings would suggest that you're not in any rush. But on the contrary, I think Samsonov and Jones and eventually Wall may be in a rush right now.
Well, no, eventually they need help for sure. And credit to the team, because they got their, what is it, 7th, 8th, 9th defensemen playing significant minutes through these injuries to the blue line. And they're holding down the fort. You know, until last night, the team had gone on a run of 9 games where they got at least a point. I believe it was 14 of their past 15. They got at least a point. So they're treading water. They're hanging in the race without defensive help. And really what's that's done, I believe, has bought Bradshaw living time when, you know, the teams he wants to trade with aren't quite ready to say, okay, we're posting the for sale sign, you know, and that for sure is starting with the Calgary Flames. I think you guys had Keith Jones on your show recently, like the Philadelphia Flyers, same thing, right? Like they're going to be a seller eventually, but you don't want to tell your fan base we're giving up on the season before Christmas. Now the trade freeze has kicked in. So the Leafs have played well enough defensively to buy their GM some time, but for sure, you know, can this blue line as constructed get them into the playoffs? Yeah. Are they going to win a round two with this group? No. And to that point about the goal you were talking about, the winner, Sheldon Keefe made a point to say that was a defensive mistake. You know, maybe part of that is protecting Jones, but what he wants is Jake McCabe in that instance, not to go chasing Blake Wheeler at the wing. He's supposed to pick the lane and slow up the speed of Schneider or some or whoever is coming through that lane to chop down their speed. So that was a defensive mistake for sure.
So Luke, we played a clip of Sheldon being grumpy about a Morgan Rielly question earlier in the show. Don't know if you happened to catch that. How has Sheldon been this year? Has it been different than in previous years? You know, he has his extension. The team is different. Dubas isn't around. Have you felt any different vibe from him over the course of the year?
A little bit. Yeah. He's a little bit testier. There's been a couple moments. I mean, he's softened now that the team is playing better. You know, we've seen some really strong performances of late. He absolutely loved the Pittsburgh game. Mm-hmm. He didn't go hard after them, after the Rangers loss, even though it was their first regulation loss in a long time, because, you know, he really liked the process. He didn't think that they got outplayed that poorly. And plus they're going up against a legitimate team in the Eastern Conference, and he thought they held their own against them. So he's softened a bit of late, but in that early going, for sure, he was getting a little bit prickly when you'd ask about Max Domi and Tyler Bertuzzi's kind of slow integration to the team. It didn't click immediately, and he kind of bristled at those questions. You know, we were nitpicking a little bit when Austin Matthews or Mitch Marner had a little dip, and he got his back up a little bit more than maybe he would have in past seasons. And, you know, I've heard some people theorize that maybe that's because, well, Kyle Dubas is gone and he has a different GM, and the new GM just lets him speak his mind. I don't know if I'm buying that so much as just he's feeling the pressure to figure this out quickly. Mm-hmm. He wants this team to be really good. He thinks they can win the division. And what a bonus it would be if they drew, you know, a wild card team. Like, you look at the Metro, the teams that are going to make the playoffs at the bottom of that division aren't going to be very good. Like, if they could wrap up a round one in five games, or
imagine,
you know, heaven forbid, four games, and set themselves up better for round two. And I think he sees that opportunity if the team clicks. And so I think there was a pressure in him, and sometimes he likes to take it out on us, because I think we can be critical and probably overly critical, probably because we're just seeing the same group so many times in a row
meanie,
now.
That's what it is.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Last night, I think Willie had some decent looks, but a couple times I think it was a little bit of a hot potato, and, you know, nobody expected Willie to...
I know he's getting points, but he's hot knife through back a little.
Yeah, that's my point.
Where you're going, sorry to step on your question.
Yeah, he has dialed it down a little bit, but where do you see Willie at this point right now?
Yeah, you're right. He's not as on fire as he was to start the season, but he's still got a 9-game point streak going. He's still getting his cookies. I think things changed a little bit when he got put with Austin. And I think maybe he feels like, okay, I need to set him up a little bit more. I think he's looking past, and he's actually has set him up for a couple of beauties. Last night it was the defenseman, McCabe and Rielly, with some pretty nice assists. But you could argue he was the MVP. Maybe you could make the case for Morgan Rielly through the first, I'd say, 20 games, definitely through to the end of the Stockholm trip. And it was almost unsustainable, the clip he was playing at. But my concerns for him are pretty low. There was this one moment last night, I don't know if you caught it, but they had the zone, and he had the puck, and he went back out out of the blue and left the zone on his own just to come back in with more speed.
Yeah.
And almost created something. Like, he just thinks the game a little bit differently than the average winger, for sure.
He's just having a good time out there.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's great. So we were talking about the division around them and how this year there doesn't seem to be – there's not the Bruins of last year, I don't think. You know, as currently constructed, how many teams do you think are better than this Maple Leafs team? I was saying that I had the Leafs in the NHL maybe as the sort of 5th to 7th best team in the league. In the East, who do you see as ahead of them right now?
I'd put the Rangers ahead of them.
Yeah.
I would. I like their blue line more. I like their goaltending a lot more.
Right.
I would put Florida ahead of them. I just, that when Florida came into town, there just felt like a gap. But in just in puck battles, in speed, determination, rolling four lines. So I'd put the Panthers ahead of them and maybe lump the Leafs in pretty close with the Bruins. I think if the Leafs are on their game, the Bruins have tailed off a little bit. I think they might be able to hang with them as long as they get a good goaltending performance. I still give the Bruins the edge in net.
Luke, terrific stuff as always, man. And by chance, if you're out and about in the city, we're the three of us are larges.
Okay.
All right.
Three bag of
so what do you think about? You're not thinking about the Leafs all the time.
Are you talking sweaters? What are we talking?
Sweaters.
Whatever it is that you are shopping for, I suppose.
Okay. Harry Rosen's.
Okay. Harry Rosen. All right. Yeah.
All right.
Thanks,
I
Luke.
Also like my little Buddha in a large.
Okay. Yeah. There you go. Done deal, pal. Thanks for all doing right. this. Luke Fox, right. Sportsnet.ca. So I think Willie's got like 3 goals in his last, 9 or 10 games? I mean,
he's also got
good for me.
He's also got a million
11
points
in his last 5 games or something like that.
Yeah. You know, even if he dials it back a little bit in the back half, he should be right around 100 points.
We are back in the time of year where, you know, there's some puck battles where he's like, you can have that one. But he is still the electric force that he always is with the puck. And that ain't going to change.
Watching Austin right now shoot the puck, like it's
otherworldly.
Yeah, it is. I mean, he is like cocked and ready to go. The moment he crosses the blue line, it's like, you know, maybe to Luke's point a little bit, it's, hey, we all know where we want the puck to end up.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe Willie's got a little bit of that in his head.
Yeah. Austin has 2 goals in 5 of the last 7 games he's played, which is obviously a pretty torrid pace. I think Sammy's got him on pace for 73 now.
The goal, the second one, the first one was a pretty fortunate, good bounce, good play to get it towards the net.
It kind of deflected up.
But the second
he just
one,
powers it through.
He just stares one of the best goalies on earth eye to eye.
Like how much room do you think he had?
Couldn't have been much more than a puck. I mean, to me, Shesterkin is up against that post. Ting.
No, he's been really good. And ever since, I guess you give Keith credit for calling him out, you know, that one game, whenever that was, it before Boston, right? Where he was like, you know, we need Austin to be better with Austin or whatever he said, and I can't remember.
Well, he's just, even when he's now entering the zone, he's got his presence back.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
You know what's crazy,
size,
too, though?
The size, the speed, the shiftiness.
Yeah. And to that point, you know, looking at their top guys, Marner now is quietly on pace for career highs in goals. I think he's on pace for 37 and points. He'd be just below last year. He's a 97 point pace. So he's kind of, after a slow start, he's
coming off an 8 goals in 8 games.
He's kind of finding a little bit too. So those two guys, this is kind of the time of year, the elite players, just everyone else kind of falls off and their skill really shines.
Yeah. People are getting more tired. Guys are hurt out of the lineup.
A few more mistakes here and there. And
Like I expect, you know, going against Buffalo tomorrow, who just gave up a touchdown and a safety to the Blue Jackets.
Boys.
And then Blue Jacket on Saturday.
But between Buffalo, and we'll get into this in the next hour on our national part of Real Kipper and Bourne here, but Buffalo and Ottawa were supposed to be knocking on the door.
Yeah.
They ain't.
They're knocking on the basement door.
It's a tent right
knocking
now.
Knocking on heaven's door.
There's no door. There's just a flappy tent.
It's a dog door just blowing in the wind.
Okay. We're back with Kevin Cheveldayoff, general manager of the Winnipeg Jets. He's going to join us. There's a surprise for me.
That's going to be awesome. I'm excited about that.
Okay. Nick Kypreos, Justin Bourne, Sammy McKee, right back at you after the break.